Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
How are you doing? You look beautiful this morning, even though you didn't get that much sleep. You look beautiful. I'm so excited to be sharing with you today as we continue our series, Great Passages. Kulu kicked us off in the first week. If you missed that, go onto our YouTube channel and just check that out. Pastor Byron preached a fantastic message last week, and it is my privilege today to share with you as we continue in the series. Just so you know, Pastor Byron is in Edenvale. He will be with us next week. And Pastor Candy is in the States. She is studying at the moment, and she's attending a couple of lectures that are happening there as she continues with her studies. So pray for her as she is there. Pray for the family and for Pastor Byron as he holds down the fort at home. Our pastors need as much prayer as what they can get. Let's pray before we continue. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we can be in your presence this morning. Thank you that already we have felt you working so powerfully in our lives, and we pray that you would continue to do that. We pray for open hearts this morning as we receive your message in Jesus' name. Amen. At the very beginning of the Bible, we see that God created this beautiful universe that we live in with three powerful words. Let it be. Three simple but powerful words. Let it be. Or let there be, not let it be. Let there be. Let there be light. Let there be darkness. Let there be sky. Let there be land. Let there be sea. Let there be fish in the sea, let there be animals on the earth, let there be plants. Three simple words, let there be. All of creation formed through words. Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, asked to rule over the garden. And not very far into the passage of Genesis, we see an encounter of a talking snake. Four simple yet powerful words that this talking snake said to Eve. Did God really say? And it was in those four powerful words that he derailed the plan that God had for mankind. He derailed everything as God had planned. God's relationship with mankind was derailed, and God's beautiful plan was derailed. But then we see later on in the story, Jesus on a cross, restoring what was lost, restoring us back to God. And with three simple words, he said, it is finished, paid in full. Church, the power of words can defeat us or they can bring us life. The power of words has the power to change us, the power to shape us, the power to change our destiny, the power to determine the course of our life, the power to set us free, and the power to save us. Words. Today, the title of my message is The Transforming Power of Words, because words are powerful. And so today, what I would like to share with you is from John 5, an incredible passage. It's a narrative that we are going to be reading. And John wrote the book of John. I mean, that's what he did. He rewrote the book of John. He was a disciple of Jesus. And he was somebody that wanted to try and explain Jesus' life and ministry by using great narratives. And so today, we're going to read John 5, 1 to 15. So hang with me. It is a fantastic story. And I really believe that God deposited something into my heart when I was reading this a couple of weeks ago. I felt like there was something, a revelation that he put over my life when I was reading this. And It's got to do with the transforming power of words. So let's read. Afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays, one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda. With five covered porches, the crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years, and when Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." And Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" "Who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." And then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. Now, just a little bit about the Pool of Bethesda. It was called the House of Grace, or the House of Mercy, or even God's Loving Kindness. And nobody really knows how these waters got stirred up. Some people say, scholars say it was an angel that stirred up the waters, but it could have been underground springs, it could have been turbulence within the waters. But regardless of that, regardless of the fact that we don't really understand how this pool worked, it sounds a bit bizarre, but something was happening there. The fact that somebody, that all of these people were waiting for their miracle to happen. Regardless of the way it worked, this man was sitting at the side of this pool for 38 years waiting for a miracle to happen. He had been struggling with this issue of life, and he was finding it hard to break free from what was going on in his life for 38 years. You know, church, sometimes we can sit with issues in our life, whether they are spiritual, whether they are physical, or whether they are circumstantial. We can sit with them for years and years and years, and they are things that hold us back in life. So let's start to unpack these words that were spoken, these transforming words. The first thing that we see is that Jesus comes to this man and he says to him, "Would you like to get well?" Now, I don't know, it seems like an obvious question, doesn't it? He's been sitting there waiting to get in the pool for 38 years and Jesus says to him, "Would you like to get well?" But I also kind of wonder that maybe the question was, well, why is it that you've been sitting there for 38 years and you haven't yet found a way to win? You haven't yet found a way to get in the pool. You know, I don't know if it was me. I think I might have like leopard crawled to the edge of the pool and waited there for that turbulence and then just done like a little bit of a flip into the pool. Or I would have like found some buddies. I would have been, "Hey, can you be my buddy? Can you be my buddy? When that water goes, can you just like toss me into it?" Like 38 years, could he not find a buddy? 38 years, could he not like, I don't know, leopard crawl. You know, when I was growing up, my mother used to have a saying that was, if we came to her and said to her, "I can't, it's just too hard, I can't do this, it seems impossible," she would say, "Find a way to win," wouldn't you, Mom? She'd be like, "Find a way to win, think out of the box, figure it out, try something different, do something new." And I really believe that that is why Jesus was saying to him, "Would you like to get well? Like, do you actually want this in your life? Do you want this for you?" And sometimes we sit with our issues and with our circumstances and with our illnesses, whether they are spiritual, whether they're circumstantial, or whether they're physical. We sit with them for so long. I want to give you a couple of examples of some of the things that we can sit with in our lives that we carry with us year after year after year. It could be spiritual. Maybe it's fear, anger, a secret sin, envy, pride, lust, greed, unforgiveness, deceit, gossip, lying, spiritual sins that we sit with in our lives. Circumstantial sins. Maybe it's a financial issue or a divorce or a loss that you've gone through or an addiction or an abuse. It could be physical. Maybe you've been dealing with a long-term illness or a physical condition or a disability. You see, these are things that we sit with for years and years and years and never find a way to move past them. And so Jesus says to this man, "Do you want to get well?" And listen to the response that he gives him. "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." These are words that he has spoken over himself for 38 years. He couldn't find a way to win because he did not change the narrative that was going on in his mind. He had been stuck on this mat. You see, church, the power of words that are spoken over us can keep us trapped. And that is my first point, the power of words that we speak over ourselves. His words kept him stuck. His words kept him helpless. His words kept him defeated. His words made him lose hope and lack faith. The power of words can be so destructive in our lives. You know, sometimes when we have these narratives that go over and over in our mind, it can feel like a maze that we are in. It can feel like, have you ever been in a maze? Yeah, I did one a little while ago when we were in Sun City. It wasn't a very big maze, but it was like, you know, you can't seem to find your way out. I mean, as it is, I have a bad sense of direction. Like, I've got no clue at the best of times, and now you're in a maze. All of these walls look the same, and you get to the one point, and you hit a dead end, and you turn around, and you get to another dead end, and that is a little bit like a narrative that goes in our mind again and again and again. You keep hitting these dead ends. You keep hitting these dead walls, and you can't find a way out. But in order to change our narrative, we have to figure out the way out. And he kept saying over and over again, "I can't," blaming somebody else. You know, when we have a narrative of fear, the narrative is, "I am afraid of," whatever that situation. It could be an addiction that we have. "I have tried so many times, but I can't stop." Anger. "My anger is justified because of what happened to me." Forgiveness. "I can't forgive, not after what that person did to me." Loss. "I will never be able to get over this. I will never be able to get past this." Debt. "It's hopeless. So I may as well just carry on spending." You know, there's this narrative. Illness, "I can't go on like this. I can't go on like this." The negative words, the narrative that we repeat to ourselves again and again and again, is the thing that keeps us down. But then when Jesus looked at him, he spoke these life-giving words over him. "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." I'm going to ask Han to come up. He's going to be my yoga mat instructor. Okay, we're not going to teach you yoga. Now, I know this analogy is we're going to be talking about getting off the mat. I know some of us need to get on the mat to do some yoga, to do some exercises, to do some stretching, but that's for another day, okay? For today, we're getting off the mat. So there he is, the lame man for 38 years. And Jesus comes to him and he says to him, "Stand up." And so he does. But what the symbolism of the standing up is he's breaking free from whatever the circumstances are. He's breaking free whatever's keeping him stuck. He's breaking free from the pattern that has been in his life again and again. The mat, it's the issue. It's whatever it is that we're struggling with. He's standing up off it, and he's breaking free from that pattern. Then Jesus says to him, pick up your mat. You see, by picking up the mat, what you're doing, and actually I thought about this. I was like, why did he tell him to pick up his mat? Why didn't he just say to him, stand up and walk? But he told him to pick up his mat. And the more I thought about this, the more I realized, you know, if this is his issue, he's taking control of this issue. He's taking control of the thing that's held him back. He's taking control of the power that has been holding him for so long. He's taking it back. He's choosing another narrative. He's choosing something else, a different way to go. And then Jesus says to him, walk. And as he begins to walk, he starts to move away from the situation that he is in. And he starts to move towards a different space. He starts to move towards a life-giving space, a hopeful place, a place where he can have a relationship with Jesus. The thing that kept him stuck, that kept him held back, he's now moving away from that. Thanks so much, Han. Let me give you a practical example of this. You know, maybe there is somebody here that is struggling with an alcohol addiction. What needs to happen is there needs to be an intentional choice to stand up and break free from the addiction that has been on your life. But then you have to pick up your mat. You have to take control over that situation. You need to start speaking different words over your life. You need to start to take control of it. You know, nothing happens on its own. We have to break free from it. We have to take control of it. We have to take charge of that situation. Jesus is in that situation with us, but we have to be deliberate as to how this works. And then he says, walk. We need to walk away from the places and the people that are keeping us in that addiction. We need to remove ourselves from that situation. We need to move to a different space. You know, a lot of the time, these issues that we are dealing with, whether they are spiritual, whether they are circumstantial, or whether they are physical, they can be a spiritual battle. Because the spiritual battle is the words that we say to ourselves again and again and again. The words that have kept us down is the spiritual battle. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You see, the narrative in our head can either take us down or it can build us up. We get to choose how to respond in these moments. We get to choose to stand up. We get to choose to roll up our mat. We get to choose to continue to walk. And Jesus begins to do a work in that situation and bring healing and wholeness and life. But then we see that something bizarre happens here. The Jewish leaders stop him in his track and say to him, you can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that mat. The power of words other people speak over us can derail us. They can. You see, what they really wanted him to do was to take his issue, his situation, and put it back down on the floor and sit back down there because he wasn't allowed to be carrying that mat. You know, sometimes people in our life are the ones that derail us from the path that Jesus wants us on. They take us to a completely different path and put us back on the mat. sometimes we choose to listen to the voice of other people and to the words of other people rather than listening to the words that Jesus gives us. Because Jesus speaks life-giving words over us. He speaks healing and wholeness. He tells us that we are a new creation in Him. He tells us that we are His beloved. He tells us that we are called and we are purposed. But we choose to listen to the voices of other people that derail us and take us down. But the man didn't listen. He kept on walking. He kept on going. And when I read this part of the passage, it was such a revelation for me. Because what happened next was as he kept on walking, the place that he went was to the temple. He went to church. He didn't go to his friends. He didn't go back home. He went to the temple, and it was at the temple that he encountered Jesus again. He encountered Jesus at the temple. And it says here that Jesus says to him, "Now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." You see, church, it's in the temple that he encountered Jesus again. It's in the temple that Jesus spoke life-giving words over him again. It's in the temple that we encounter the presence of Jesus. When we come to church, when we are planted in the church, when we are connected in community, when we are worshiping God, something changes in our lives. He begins to do a new work in us. He begins to speak different words over our lives. He begins to call us into a relationship with Him. And it's in the temple that something significantly happened to him. He said, "You are now well." But he doesn't leave it there. The power of words that Jesus spoke over him again was for a new way of living. He said, "Stop sinning. Stop sinning. Turn away from the things that you have been doing. Stop sinning. Come into relationship with me. Let's start to be with Jesus. Start to become like Jesus. Start to do what Jesus did. Start a new way of life. The old has gone and the new has come." You see what's happening here is Jesus is starting to speak a different narrative over his life. And so he began to turn away from the things of life as he knew it. He became free from the brokenness and the pain and the hardship. He turned away from his 38 years of misery and lameness. He turned away from a life that was hopeless and a life that was defeated. And he walked into a new life. He walked into a new way of living. He walked into a better life. He walked into a life that was filled with promise and with freedom and with hope. You know, there is a difference between hope and optimism. Hope is when we place our hope in Jesus. Optimism is when we place our hope in circumstances. We need to be placing our hope in Jesus because He has given us a new hope. He has given us a new way of living. He has filled us with hope. And then we see the next part of the story. We see that Jesus had told him to stop sinning, to walk in a different way of life. But then he says this to him, that this is what happened next. He says, "Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him." There is power in words that we confess to other people. There is power in the words that we confess to other people. He needed to confess these words to the Jewish leaders. He needed to say them aloud. He needed to say to them that Jesus had healed him. He needed to tell them that because it's in the power of confession that healing happens. And in Romans 10, 9 to 10, it says, if we openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. You see, the confession of our mouths bring healing into our body. There is power in confession. There is power in declaring the word of God. There is power in declaring what it is that we are seeing over our lives and trusting and hoping for God to do in our lives. And it's through the declaring of our mouth that brings healing and salvation. So if we go back to that analogy of the alcoholic, you know, when an alcoholic has decided to stand up, roll up their mat, and to start walking, they can either be derailed by the friends that they have around them, friends that might say to them, come on, just join us for another drink. Come on, you're spoiling the fun. They could be derailed, or they can choose to go on a path that brings them healing. But the thing is that when they sit in an AA meeting, the first thing that they need to do is declare with their mouth, hello, my name is Colleen, and I am an alcoholic. But then the next words after that is, and I have been sober for. And they declare how many days they've been sober for. And it's a beautiful thing because they always confess the fact that they had this issue, that this is something that has held them back. But they also choose to say, but I have been clean for so many days. And it's in the power of that confession that healing starts to take place, that something starts to happen in their life, that they begin to move away from the thing that has held them back for so many years. So, church, I don't know where you find yourself today. I don't know if you find yourself with a narrative that you've been saying over and over and over again in your life, something that has kept you back, something that has held you back. But I want you to just think about these as I just sum up these few things that we've been talking about. Words we speak over ourselves can keep us trapped. Words other people speak over us can potentially derail us, take us off the path that we're on. But words that Jesus speaks over us brings freedom and life and healing and wholeness. And the words that we confess to others bring us to a place of complete wholeness. And so as we go on this journey of healing, whatever it is, whatever the journey is, whatever it is that you've been repeating over and over and over again to yourself, whatever the narrative has been in your head, as we go on this journey, it's a journey of highs and lows. It's a journey of ups and downs. But ultimately, the transformation takes place because of the words that can either bring complete wholeness or bring complete destruction. There is a guy by the name of Les Brown. He's a famous motivational speaker and a thought leader on self-improvement. But it wasn't always like that for him. When he was younger, he's a twin. But when he was younger, he was the dumb twin. His brother was very gifted and an exceptional scholar, and he was the dumb twin. They used to call him DT because he wasn't as gifted as his brother, and those words were spoken over him again and again and again. And one day the teacher asked him to come up to the blackboard and solve a problem. And his automatic response to the teacher was, "I can't. I'm the dumb twin." To which the teacher reprimanded him and told him to never say that again. She said, "Someone else's opinion of you does not have to become your reality." And Les never forgot those words. And he made it his life's mission to overcome what it was that he was facing. He overcame incredible odds, and he pursued his dreams and his passions. And he has become famous for the saying that says, "You have greatness within you." And each and every one of us have greatness within us, but not because of our own strength, not because of our own abilities, not because we're great. It's because of who is living inside of us. The Holy Spirit that equips us and empowers us and gives us all the resources we need in order to become the person that He has called us to be. We have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, which means that each and every one of us here have greatness within us. Let's not allow the words that we speak over our lives to derail us and take us off course. So I'm going to ask that we just take a moment right now just to think about some of the things that might be holding you back, some of the narratives that you might be playing over and over again in your head, some of the things that have been destructive to you. Let's ask God today, by declaring what it is that we're wanting Him to do in our lives, let's ask Him to bring healing into that situation. Let's create a different narrative for ourselves. I'm going to just give us a moment right now. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just pray for each person that is sitting here right now. We've all come before you with our own issues, our own circumstances, our own illnesses, the thing that has kept us lame for so many years. And as we name that right now, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would begin to give us a different narrative. We pray that you would begin to speak differently over us. We pray that we would begin to speak differently, that you would shape the words, that you would give us words that are life-giving, that you would give us words that are full of healing. Lord Jesus, we pray for breakthrough right now. I really feel so strongly that there are some people that are going to be released today in this moment. That narrative that you've been playing again and again in your head will be broken today. We thank you for that. Can I encourage you to continue to declare that, to continually speak that over your life, continually to press into what it is that God wants to show you which area you need healing in? But maybe today you have never chosen to make Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You have never declared openly in your own words that Jesus is Lord, and you have never believed it in your heart, and you've never experienced the transforming power of Jesus over your life. So today I'd like to invite you into a friendship with Jesus. He can meet you right now where you are at, in whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever circumstances you find yourself in. He can meet you at that place, and He can bring healing into your life right now. He can bring salvation to you. And so today, I'd like to invite you to accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. So if that's you, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And what that will really do is just give me an indication of who you are. And then together as a church, we're going to pray a prayer. And that will give you some words to pray, to declare, and to confess openly that today you're choosing to make Jesus the Lord and the Savior of your life. So if that is you, then on the count of three, right now, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three, hands up going, hands up all over the auditorium right now, wherever you. Thank you, I see that hand. Anybody else? Thank you, I see your hand. If there's anybody else that's raising their hand right now, I'd love to pray this prayer for you. Thank you, at the back there, I see your hand. Right now, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to say it, and in your heart, or just sort of under your breath, you can pray this with me. And by doing this, you're believing in your heart and you're declaring openly that Jesus is Lord. Lord Jesus, today I come to you and I ask you to heal me. For too long, I have been that lame man on the mat. But right now, I desire a friendship with you. And I ask that you would make that I would ask to make you the Lord and the Savior of my life. Forgive me for everything that has happened in the past and make me whole. Today I believe that you are Lord, and I declare you as my Savior. Make me right with you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.